Good Wives by Louisa May Alcott, read by Lorelei King. Chapter 1. Gossip. In order that we may start afresh and go to Meg's wedding with free minds, it will be well to begin with a little gossip about the Marches. And here let me premise that if any of the elders think there is too much lovering in the story, as I fear they may, I'm not afraid the young folks will make that objection. I can only say with Mrs. March, what can you expect when I have four gay girls in the house and a dashing young neighbor over the way? The 3 years that have passed have brought but few changes to the quiet family. The war is over, and Mr. March safely at home, busy with his books, and the small parish which found in him a minister by nature as by grace. A quiet, studious man, rich in the wisdom that is better than learning, the charity which calls all mankind brother, the piety that blossoms into character, making it august and lovely. These attributes, in spite of poverty and the strict integrity which shut him out from the more worldly successes, attracted to him many admirable persons, as naturally as sweet herbs draw bees, and as naturally he gave them the honey into which 50 years of hard experience had distilled no bitter drop. Earnest young men found the gray-headed scholar as earnest and as young at heart as they. Thoughtful or troubled women instinctively brought their doubts and sorrows to him, sure of finding the gentlest sympathy, the wisest counsel. Sinners told their sins to the pure-hearted old man, and were both rebuked and saved. Gifted men found a companion in him. Ambitious men caught glimpses of nobler ambitions than their own. And even worldlings confessed that his beliefs were beautiful and true, although they wouldn't pay. To outsiders, the five energetic women seemed to rule the house, and so they did in many things. But the quiet man sitting among his books was still the head of the family, the household conscience, anchor, and comforter. For to him the busy, anxious women always turned in troublous times, finding him in the truest sense of those sacred words, husband and father. The girls gave their hearts into their mother's keeping, their souls into their father's, and to both parents, who lived and labored so faithfully for them, they gave a love that grew with their growth, and bound them tenderly together by the sweetest tie which blesses life and outlives death. Mrs. March is as brisk and cheery, though rather grayer than when we saw her last, and just now so absorbed in Meg's affairs that the hospitals and homes, still full of wounded boys and soldiers' widows, decidedly miss the motherly missionary's visits. John Brooke did his duty manfully for a year, got wounded, was sent home, and not allowed to return.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?